the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Today is the last Sunday after Pentecost in the church calendar, the last Sunday of the church year. A day also often called informally Christ the King Sunday. But most significantly, it is the last Sunday after Pentecost. It is, in a sense, the church's New Year's Eve. But the church does not throw festive or raucous parties on New Year's Eve. Rather, we are confronted year after year with scripture readings on this day that focus on themes of judgment and on the end of time. The lectionary, the scripture readings, are designed at this closing of the year to challenge us with the question of judgment. Are you ready to meet your Maker? The scriptures ask. And it is in that theme that we hear this parable from the 25th chapter of Matthew. A story often called the parable of the sheep and the goats. One of a series of parables in Matthew, we've had them for the last few weeks, that are eschatological. It's coming in Matthew's gospel at the very end of Jesus' ministry, and they have messages about the end time. And as I said last week, Matthew in particular was not above using the threat of judgment to try and goad people or motivate people into faithful living. This particular parable is probably better known than many of the others of Matthew's, the parable of the sheep and the goats. And there is much that is appealing in this parable, and we hang on to it often because of the way in which Jesus identifies himself with those who might be thought of as the least amongst God's children. Jesus says, it is in the least of these who are my family that you will find me. That sense of seeing Jesus present in the least of God's children is something that we hang on to, particularly in our call to help others. The mandate for Episcopal Relief and Development, that organization that serves as our outreach agency in times of need or disaster, the mandate for ERD, for Episcopal Relief and Development, comes from this passage in Matthew. That place where the disciples ask, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you? And Jesus answers, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. That call to help others because Jesus is present in them. In fact, the Legacy Society for Episcopal Relief and Development is called the Matthew 25 Society. That way in which we serve others, based on this mandate in the parable in Matthew. But then, of course, after the part that ERD quotes, there is that later part, that judgment part, where those who have not lived up to the call to help others are judged and cast into torment. As we consider this parable, as is always the case, it's helpful, it's very helpful to think about the context. particularly in this portion of Matthew, Matthew's voice, the writer's voice, is a strong influence on Jesus' words. It's hard to know exactly, but Matthew's voice is undoubtedly a strong influence on Jesus' words as they are presented in this portion of Matthew's gospel. And Matthew is writing to a young church, a very young church, that is facing significant persecution. Persecution unto death. And the nations that Matthew refers to, that Jesus refers to at the beginning, when Jesus says, the nations shall stand before the king, the nations shall come and be judged. The nations in this context are the Gentiles. And the little ones who are my family, are the young Jewish Christians of the fledgling church. So in this parable, Matthew is talking about the Gentiles and how they are responding to the church, to the young church, those who support the least of these, the Jewish Christians of the young church. I don't mean to imply that they were young people. The Jewish Christians of the young church versus those who persecute the least of these. Matthew is reassuring the little ones who are the fledgling church that the people who are persecuting them will ultimately be punished. That may or may not help with the interpretation of the passage. It leaves that issue of judgment still out there, an issue that we certainly need to grapple with. But that is the context in which Matthew is presenting this parable to the young church. And I'm not going to talk about judgment today, even though it is one of the big themes of this time of year. The piece of this parable that troubles me that I want to talk about today is the way Jesus or Matthew brings the sheep and the goats into the story. He didn't really need to do that. And I'm sorry that he did, whoever brought the sheep and the goats into the story. I'm sorry that they're there because it divides the world into us and them, into two different groups. I like the Old Testament better. We still have to grapple with the issue of judgment in that Old Testament passage, but at least they're all sheep in the Old Testament passage. And those who are judged harshly are the sheep who are fat and who have become fat at the expense of others by pushing aside the weak and needy. Those are the ones who are judged harshly in the Old Testament passage, but they're all sheep. In the parable, although I do not think this was Jesus or Matthew's primary intent, in the parable we are left with at least the impression that the goats are judged not only for their actions, but for who they are. Just for who they are. Because all of the sheep are righteous and all of the goats are cursed. All of the goats are cursed. And all of the sheep are automatically righteous. It kind of leaves you with the impression that sheep, somehow just by being sheep, are righteous, and goats, just because they have the misfortune to be goats, are cursed. It is, of course, in the parable, the goat's failure to help others that gets them condemned. But it's still all of the goats. And living as we do today, living as we do in a world that is so highly polarized between us and them, when assumptions are made about us and them, I'm sorry that this parable is written the way it is, with the implication that all goats are always unrighteous. And I'm going to come back to the sheep and the goats a little bit later, but first, by way of a road to get there, I want to talk to you a little bit about something neat that is going on this weekend, this Thanksgiving weekend, that you may or may not know about. Something neat that is a part of Thanksgiving weekend. It's called The Great Listen. The Great Listen. Or The Great Thanksgiving Listen. It's a project of StoryCorps. Just one little piece of what StoryCorps does. That's C-O-R-P-S, Corps, StoryCorps. Some of you may be familiar with StoryCorps. Some of their interviews air on NPR, I think, although they're not actually an NPR entity, but NPR airs some of their interviews. They foster interviews, one-on-one interviews. That's what StoryCorps does. It encourages one-on-one interviews. And The Great Listen, The Great Thanksgiving Listen, is a program developed by StoryCorps, initially for high school students, and meant to be really launched from the schools. There's a full curriculum that you can launch from the classroom that encourages high school students over the Thanksgiving weekend to interview an elder in their family. To sit down 40 minutes with an elder in their family and ask some rich, open questions. Tell me about growing up before there was electricity at the farm. Tell me about fighting in the Second World War. Tell me about what it was like when I was born, your grandchild. Tell me about what you want to be remembered for, what you are proudest of. Tell me about. And as a part of this program, you actually have the opportunity, if you wish, to archive these conversations. All of the StoryCorps interviews that people wish to have archived are archived in the Smithsonian or somewhere in Washington. Library of Congress, one of the two. It's a huge body of conversations about the past. The point of these interviews is not so much primarily about gaining information, learning something new, although that's a great side benefit, nor is the primary purpose of this conversation creating this recorded archive history, although that's another fabulous side benefit. The point of these conversations is to build connections. To build connections between this is the stated mission of StoryCorps. Our mission is to preserve and share humanity's stories in order to build connections between people and create a more just and compassionate world. Our mission is to preserve and share our stories in order to build connections between people and create a more just and compassionate world. They go on to say, we do this to remind one another of our shared humanity, to strengthen and build the connections between people, to teach the value of listening, and to weave into the fabric of our culture the understanding that everyone's story At the same time, we are creating an invaluable archive for future generations. To build connections and to weave into the fabric of our culture the understanding that everyone's story matters. Some years ago, they took a poll of people who had listened to StoryCorps interviews. Not people who had participated, but people who had just listened to StoryCorps interviews. And they're available online as well. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can find them on their website. You can hear them, I think it's on Fridays on NPR. But people who had just listened to the interviews. Now, admittedly, this is a self-selecting population, but amongst those who listened to the interviews, 88% strongly agree that these interviews make them feel connected to people with different backgrounds. 81% felt they were reminded of their shared humanity with others. 78% felt that these interviews led listeners to think of people different from themselves as an important part of society. 80% helped them see the value. Everyone felt that the interviews helped them see the value in everyone's life, story, and experience. 80% felt that these interviews humanized social issues, events, and policies. It's all about valuing people's stories, valuing the experience and stories of others, valuing, respecting, cherishing other people's stories. It's not just about improving listening skills. That is a piece of it, and something which we could all probably benefit from. There's heaps of guidance on the internet if you're interested in that. The main point of this is to affirm the value of other people's stories and experience, and thereby create connections with other people and spread this understanding within the fabric of our culture that everyone's story does, in fact, matter. Perhaps, as we are here in worship on the church's New Year's Eve, we might consider a New Year's resolution. As individuals, or as a community, to find ways in the year ahead to invite and honor and value the stories of others, to invite people to tell those stories and to hear them with respect and with a sense of value. Remember the StoryCorps mission. Our mission is to preserve and share humanity's stories in order to build connections between people and create a more just and compassionate world. The Great Thanksgiving Listen is about building those connections within families, building those connections across the generation within families. But what if we made it part of our mission to do that in other venues as well, within the parish, within our neighborhoods, perhaps even within the broader community? Who knows? The sheep and the goats might actually get to know one another and value one another. Sure, there would still be some righteous sheep and some unrighteous sheep, and probably lots of righteous goats, and maybe a few less so. But the opportunity to hear one another's stories, to value those stories, and to build connections and weave into the fabric of our culture the understanding, the appreciation, the joy that everyone's story